Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I'm so glad that you joined me on today, and I'm just so excited for just another wonderful lesson and time here at home. So I want you to grab your Bible, come right on in, and make yourself right at home. I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed on today, have a wonderful lesson for you on today. And so grab a pen and a pencil and let us get started here. And so I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing, and then I'll give you our scripture reference where we'll be looking at. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Father, we bind the devil, we bind the forces of evil and wickedness, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we declare your sovereign will be done. Bless the airway. We come against every frequency or interruption of what you have done in this session on today. And Father, we thank you as we commend it over into your wonderful hand. Let the anointing power exude through and forward, and we'll praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. On today, we're going to be talking about the seal of the testament. And we're going to find that over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 33, and then Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 20. So why don't you grab your Bible and why don't you turn there with me, and we're going to look at those passages of scriptures on today. That's Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 33. It reads on this line, "Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which was my covenant, they break, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 20. And it reads on this line. It said, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, or for the redemption of the transgressions that were made, they were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be necessity, be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and spindle both the book and all the people, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Now, let's look at another passage of scripture that's going to lay the foundation. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says here, "All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Let's take a look at our lesson on today about the seal of the testament. Now, see, the Bible is a unique among all the books, as we know, in this whole entire world. Although there are other books that uses religious texts, The Bible stands alone in its message and fulfillment of prophecy. Now, of the 2,500 prophecies in the scripture that deals with the nation of Israel, its surrounding nations, and the Messiah, about 2,000 have already been fulfilled. And this is a record of clarity and accuracy that so-called the Clarions and other properly holy book cannot hope to even match. Even though they try to have other books that try to match it, it cannot match the fulfillment of the prophecy that has been proclaimed and fulfilled in the Holy Bible. Now, the Bible is much like an ocean. It is in its nature. While it's a vast territory on its surface, underneath lies depth that challenge the most impudent explorer. While the surface and the depth are of the same substance, a lifetime of study will not uncover all that is contained within the Bible or within its book, within its chapters. Now, let's look further. The Bible is unparalleled in its instruction for proper living. Those who follow its instruction and avoid multitudes of pitfalls of that are responsible for so much human misery and pain. It is amazing that some individuals are so engrossed in their own ego and engrossed in their own ego and intellect that they would even consider they might know better what concerns 2,000 or 3,500 years ago, that those who were eyewitnesses and participants in this historical move of God. Now, it is the height of foolishness for one to think that they know better than what the Bible should say than they have heard of the voice of God or Scripture by divine inspiration. Now, the first testament, which was given at Mount Sinai, God gave to Moses the story of the earliest event of his dealing with humanity, and likely at the same time, he gave Moses the basic guidelines for relationship with the people of Israel. The giving of the law on Mount Sinai was clearly supernatural in its element. While it's normal for a holy writing to proclaim supernatural origin and transmission, the giving of the law of Moses was not the result of a meeting and things were unknown by the multitude, but God transmitted the law to Moses in the midst of numerous supernatural elements, many of which the entire nation of people observed. Now, these were the same people who experienced God's deliverance from bondage to Egypt through a series of miraculous events. God's miraculous dealings were not new to the people of Israel. His dealing with his people have never been done in a corner. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 26. And I will say, too, that he will never, ever do things in a corner. Now, as the newly liberated people watched, God gave further speculation, spectacular display, even of his power and might at the top of Mount Sinai. Rather than concealing his presence from those who with whom he were establishing a covenant and giving direction, he expressly provides sensory perception of his presence for all people to see and to know that it was God. Now, you'll see that over in Exodus chapter number 19 and 9, 11, verses also verse 16 through 19, and also Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. Now, if I can say, even here lately, we have seen throughout the countries, throughout the world, of God's miraculous, even supernatural display of his even coming. We have all have witnessed, even in this region in which we reside, in the Pacific Northwest region, we have been seeing for a numerous of days the wonderful rainbows that God has been allowing to be in the sky as a reminder. He told me, Helen, he said, this is a reminder that I will not destroy this earth with water, and remind my people that When they see the miraculous sign, it comes as a warning, even though we glory and we see, we're in awe of the majesty of the glorious rainbows that we've been seeing and witnessing, that he is speaking directly to his people through these elements and letting us know and things, his promise, what he promised unto his people. Even though we see things happening even in this world, he is still yet reminding us of his promise and that he is still yet in control. Now let's look. Made the will of God known during this time when Moses was there, the giving of the law revealed to humankind a glimpse into God's perspective of the proper way of living. Without such direction, people will adrift with their own perception and opinion as to the proper conduct in which we even now as we live. However, God's word made plain the way that they could approach him. Further, his law gave them direction as to what was acceptable or not, clean or what was unclean. Now, the tabernacle plan God gave them was a three-dimensional representation of the proper way to come into God's presence. The ceremony typified the great plan of redemption that God was establishing for his people and ultimately for all mankind. Now, let's take a look further. Sealed by the blood. Let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 through 20 states, "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were made under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is the force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and sprinkled and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto us or unto you." Now, every society has its ritual verification of life's transitions and legal matter and things. Even groups may require successful endurance of certain tests before accepting a youth into a group. As an adult, the Jews observed the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah as an entrance into adult responsibility. In the modern Northern American, the grasping of the driver's license and a high school graduation are important recognition for the rites of passage. Rituals of various kinds are used to legalize various action in legal matters. These rituals range from a simple seal on a document to multiple witnesses and prescription wording for a will to full-blown court proceeding with elaborate formal procedures and stolid comebacks between even the attorneys. These are different types of rituals. However, in like manner, there are certain formalities that accompany obtaining the blessing God has prepared for his mankind. It is not enough that people of God construct and erect the tabernacle. Before it was acceptable for use, it had to be dedicated with blood. Exodus 24, verses 6 through 8, Hebrews 9, verses 18 through 20. Although gold and silver were used extensively in the tabernacle, it was not fully sanctified for the use until it had been formally anointed with the blood of a proper sacrifice. Now, God had let us know ways and manners that are acceptable to him, and we are obligated to follow these in order to please him and attain his favor. And that's very critical for us to recognize and know God already has a prescribed way for us as the children of God. Now, let's look further into the word of the Lord, our lesson today. Let's look at this new covenant. the prophecy of the New Testament. Although 1,000 years after Moses came down from Sinai with the law, God spoke through two of his prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that he was going to replace the covenant under which his people have been living with a new and better arrangement. Through Jeremiah, God gave a reason for the change, the fact that Israel had broken or violated the contract. He indicated that the new covenant would be of a different nature than the first one. The new covenant would be written on the heart of the people instead of just a tablet of stone. Ezekiel also elaborated with more details of how the new covenant would be implemented within the lives of God's people. He noted that God would perform a heart transplant, replacing the stone hard heart of rebellion with one of a more pliable flesh. He was also noted that this new covenant would involve the impartation of a new spirit. Ezekiel noted that this spirit would not be just the implantation of a better attitude, but it would be the engrafting of the very spirit of God himself. When the author of the book of Hebrews wrote of the more excellent ministry of Jesus as the mediator of a better covenant, he quoted the prophecy of Jeremiah. You'll see it over in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, and also Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 12. Now, the change in the manner of God's relationship with humanity should not have come as a surprise to his people because they were given notice about 600 years before the fact. Now, let's look further. Now, the purchase by the blood of Christ, now as an antitype of the symbolic dedication of the law and the tabernacle, the new covenant was formalized by the shed blood of Jesus, the anointing of Jehovah. The book of Hebrews compared this new covenant to a will, a testament, such as a document is not legally enforced while the testator lives. No one can make a claim while the one who made the will yet lives. Consequently, the promised new covenant was not available until Jesus' death on Calvary. The promised new birth, John 3, verses 1 through 5, and the other promises of the gospel were in effect only after the sacrifice of the Holy One of Israel. The promise of the paradise made to the repentant malefactor, Luke 23, verses 42 to 43, was made on the basis of the repentance under the old covenant and not up under the power of the new, which was not yet enforced. Now, it is also important to consider that no one is allowed to change the terms of the legally prepared, which after death of the testator. When Jesus breathed his last breath at Golgotha and declared it is finished, it was not only put the terms of his will testament into force, but also made them unalterable by anyone who might have an interest in making changes. As the blood of the sacrifice made sure the first covenant, even more so did the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God seal the New Testament. And you'll see that over in Matthew 26, 28, Mark 14, 24, Luke 22, and 20, and 1 Corinthians 11, 25. Thus, the word of God is ensured by a double seal that no person has the right to break it. Let's look further. Let's look at the inspired word of God. It came by revelation. The Bible is not a complication of ideas of man. Rather, it came by the inspiration of the Almighty, the result of God moving in the hearts of chosen individuals who transmitted his commandments and direction to humankind. As the type of conduct doeth, leaves its influence on the things transmitted without changing the essential nature. So the human characteristic of these writers show in their writing while the message God comes through unchanged. The highly educated Daniel and Paul have different gifts of communication than Amos and then Simon Peter, but each of them in their own manner convey the truth of God through his word. Though the agency of humanity, God has conveyed his truth, which, if followed, will produce well-rounded disciples who are able to walk worthy of him in the world. This inspired word also will prepare and motivate his followers to advance his kingdom through good works. Now let's look further. For forever settled, the Bible has translated into more language than any other. These are multitude. There are multitude translation in English and some other language. These translations range from literal to very loose paraphrasing the word of God. Yet in all of these, God's eternal truth must shine through. College texts are often revised as new material is incorporated. Other times, new theories are advanced and gain cohesion before being incorporated in the written material. Though the Bible may be retranslated, there is no need for it to be rewritten. The truth of God's words are eternal and need no revision. The pendulum of man's opinion swings from one extreme to the next, but the Bible is forever true as well as unchanging. Further, some individuals decry the word of the Lord because of its ancient origin. They question its relevance because of its age. Their reasoning is suspicious, however, because there are eternal principles that time does not change and cannot change. From the very beginning, 2 + 2 = 4, and it will always equal 4. And all of the modern thoughts and technology have not changed that in the least. Through the mankind has observed from the millennia that the sun arises in the east, and no one seems to advocate for changing our understanding of that fundamental truth. It would not be practical or beneficial to attempt to change either the sun cycle or the immutability or immutable word of God. Now, as silly as it would be for the legislature to enact a law making pi equal to even 3, so multiplication would be easier, so human efforts to change God's variety will only make life calculation come up with wrong answers. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now, the Bible is not subject to the ideal and opinion of humanity. Its truth are not dependent upon the majority who voted or any vote at all. No council of mankind has the power to change what God has already established. Now, let's look a little further as we look into the word of the Lord here. It's absolute truth. In an age that denied the existence of the absolute, the word of God still proclaims the varieties of time and eternity. The ebbs and the flows of society's opinion have great influence on action of mankind, but opinion do not affect the truth of God's word. In no field of endeavor does opinion change facts. For years, people were of the opinion that it was impossible for anyone to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. In 1945, the world record of 4 minutes and 1.3 seconds was held by a man from Grunder Hags from Sweden. Though many runners dedicated themselves to beating this record, they all still fall short, solidifying the idea that 4 minute miles was physically impossible. Then on May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister set a record of 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds. Once the 4 minute mile was broken, various runners often set new records. Now, this is only one example of many opinions for the mariners with who feared the sailing of off the edge of the flat earth and the earth-centric universe to an unbreakable sound barrier. The impossibility of the moon landing. All of these ideas once were widely accepted, but later was shown to be untrue. Now, it's a matter of philosophy. Galatians 2:8, psychology and religion and opinion shifts from age to age, but God's word still stands solid, unchanging amid the swirling ideas of mankind. Oh, child of God. Now, Jesus, he is the mediator in things. Hebrews 12:24 said, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, Hebrews 9:15. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling, and speaketh better things than that of Abel, Hebrews 12:24. Now, Jesus is unique in several areas. First, he is the only incarnation of God, God manifested in the flesh. Since the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily, he was also born a human. He could fulfill the role of both God and man as the mediator. When the transgression in the Garden of Eden broke the bond of fellowship between God and his rebellious children, God began immediately to take steps towards restoring the various conditions. He instituted a system of animal sacrifice by which human might approach him. After multitude failure on man's part, he liberated the nation of Israel from Egypt's bondage and made a covenant and a contract with them at Sinai. This covenant is sealed and maintained with the shed blood of the bulls and goats, which could never be taken away the sins, Hebrews 10:4, was widely and largely a stoppage and a stopgap measure. It served as a pattern and educational tool to protect and direct Israel until the fullness of time, when God would manifest himself in human flesh and make only sacrifice that could restore what was lost in Eden. Now, in his role as both God and man, Jesus could both live a perfect life. He died as a malefactor, as a man, he was the sacrifice. As God, he accepted the sacrifice. As man, he could fulfill the role of Jacob's daysman and the mediator between sinful man and the holy God. Now, Moses acted as the mediator of the Old Testament and Old Covenant, standing between God and the people, conveying the message to one another and making the necessary sacrifice to activate the contract between them. He also stood in the gap to prevent the destruction of Israel when they manifested their rebellion and disobedience. He predicted the coming of another, better mediator who will speak the word of God unto them. Jesus fulfilled his prophecy of a prophet like Moses when he spoke the word of the kingdom. He pleaded for the people and instituted a better covenant through his own blood. Now, Christ died to give us a better testament. Now, the death of Jesus was not just a result of a terrible miscarriage of justice. The sacrifice of Calvary was a part of God's redemptive plan from the very beginning. The purpose of his coming as a man was to offer the sacrifice that would usher in a new covenant. Jesus only lived that perfect life. It would not have been sufficient to save us. Without the Spirit and the power made available to humankind in the New Testament following his implicit behavior, redemption would have been almost as impossible as individual keeping all the laws of Moses. Every detail of life and death of Jesus was a part of the master plan to restore fellowship between God and his fallen creation. When the accuser of the brethren brings charges against the redeemed, he has no standing because pardon has been granted and the record expunged through the sacrificial death of Jesus. We stand not in our own righteousness, which is a filthy rag, but we stand in the Christ's righteousness. We do not have to plead our own case because through his new and loving way, he's become our advocate, our lawyer in the courts of heaven. Every piece of pure furniture in the tabernacle, every sacrifice, every ritual that of life in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the First Testament held a place in relationship to the Second somewhat akin to the relationship between the set of blueprint and the finished building. He came knowing Golgotha, with the agony awaited him. When the angel made his announcements to the shepherd the night of Jesus' birth, he spoke of the Savior. Salvation could only come through the schedule and the shedding, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1, verses 19. Further, the believers are the living epistles. In Galatians 3, verses 1 through 6, that old foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore had that ministered to you the Spirit and worked his miracle among you, does he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now the Bible is a perennial bestseller. Many homes have a multitude of copies, often multiple translations. Sadly, the sheer number of a Bible available does not reflect the amount of study and the knowledge attained by the average individual. Too often, the Bible is merely another ornament, somewhat akin to a picture on the wall, not really looked at through or even often seen. Many times, it is just a part of the ensemble worn to the church or mainly for its look provide. If this is the case in the child of God's home, then these are even less knowledge of God's work among those who possess no faith, whose religion roots have seriously started. Many families have religion background from generation past, but have failed to act on the biblical knowledge they once possessed. And that's critical for us as children of God. We must act on the word of the Lord of God that he's given unto us as the people of God. We must read it, stay in it, and stand on it, and let the devil know he don't have no ground, because Jesus Christ already paid the ultimate price for our liberty and for our salvation, and stand upon the word of the Lord. The churches in Galatians have wandered away from the teaching of Paul and had left them with them. They found other doctrines more enticing and to their liking. Paul upbraided them on their substitution of the work of the law and depended on the flesh of their own power of faith. And not only were they endangering their own walk with God, but were also leaving an improper witness to those around them. As noted, many people did not read their Bible. The only way they have of knowing what is contained within its pages is to see it lived out in the action and attitude of Jesus' followers. Paul admonished the Corinthian believers of their awesome responsibility in this area when he said, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Let's look further at this poet of Edgar Guss. Yes, as he expressed it in one way, he said, "I'd rather see a sermon rather than hear one any day. I'd rather be one should walk with me than merely tell me the way. Eyes are a better pupil and more willing than the ears. Find counsel in confusing, but example always clear. And at the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creed. For to see good, put it in action, is what everybody needs. I soon learn how to do it, if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hand in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you can act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I am eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a stronger man stand behind, just to see if he can help him, then wish grown strong in me. To become a big and thoughtful as I know the friend can be. And all travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noticed is worth 40 that are already told. Who can stand with men of honor, learn to hold his honor dear? Right, for right living speaks a language which everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charmed me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And that was written by the poet Edgar A. Guest. Now, when we finish looking in the Bible, as we know, it's a blessing to us from the Lord our God. And it is not just a great lecture. It is God's blueprint and the art of refuge for fallen mankind. Its stories are not just grand adventures. They are signs out the way of life and the pitfall or the wrong path. The story of Jesus is not merely the tale of a life of a great teacher. It is more than just a tale of a man whose example we should follow. His story is that of God who loved us, that became one of us for the express purpose of paying our debts for sin and making eternal life with him possible. He loved us enough to leave the splendor of heaven and the praise of angels and the trade that for the dusty road of Galilee and the curse of those who did not realize that he was God of glory. Such love and sacrifice deserve our attention and action. We should learn what he did, what he wants us to do. As then, after we learn, we must also follow in after him. And even as the poet said, let us, as the children of God and the people of God, let us also be the living witness and be the epistle read and known of all men. God said, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. And I pray that God would anoint his people with a spirit of love, with a spirit of kindness, that it would exude throughout our lives, that the people will look on and marvel the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, I pray, oh God, on today that you will bless your people, that you will undergird, Lord, in the midst of all wickedness and evil, God, thoughts and minds, that love would exude through our hearts, kindness, Father, that we will have a love that is so anointing, that your agape will exude through our life in such a fashion that someone will repent, turn their life away, and say, what must I do to be saved? And Father, thank you for sealing our salvation and even the New Testament and covenant with your own precious blood. Father, you loved us just that much. Now, Father, I pray that you strengthen your people, undergird them, those that are discouraged, those that are downtrodden, Lord, those that are, Father, being perplexed in their mind. I pray, oh God, that you will strengthen and fortify them and undergird them in and through your power divine. And, Father, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the seal of the testament. And, Father, we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Truly, I do appreciate you being with us on today. I pray that this has been a blessing for you and things are giving you a better understanding of all of the mighty works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done as God manifested in the flesh, reconciling us back unto himself. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And so, child of God, until we meet again, I pray that there will be a no-sorrow blessing come to you. And as I will always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. So don't you dare give up. Don't you dare stop asking or knocking or seeking. Your miracle is just one knock away or one question away or one seek away from your blessing. According to Matthew 7:7, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. I pray that a no sorrow blessing will come to your house. Yes, your house and your children and your children's children. I pray a protective covering all around them. Stay up under the blood. Stay close to the Lord and in his word and watch him do what he promised to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And God bless you till we meet again. Call someone and invite them to home. Bye-bye.